Well, may God give us understanding of his word. So here's the tough question. Doesn't Christianity just cause wars? And in one sense, we have to sort of look back over the history. And as a Christian, whether I'm a Christian minister or not, just as a Christian, I have to be part of a body of people that has to hold up its hands and say, yes, historically it has done. And we just can't duck the fact that Christianity has indeed caused some wars. But then let's probe a little bit, shall we? What we're talking about in this series is the things that put us off believing God. And every Christian that I know, and as one myself, would say that Christians can be either the best advert for Christianity that there is, when we are, in fact, just those things that James was writing about, when we are pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Christians can be the best advert there is for Christianity. But of course, we know, and if you're a Christian, you'll know this yourself, we can also be the worst advert there is for Christianity when we're hypocritical, or when we are two-faced about things, or when we are just concerned with dragooning people into effectively a religious club. We can become like the Pharisees. And in that sense, it's no surprise that as Christians, we have to hold up our hands and say, yes, historically, Christianity, the religion, has caused some wars. Now, let's probe that a little bit further and say, yes, it has, but hang on a minute. Let's just think about some of those wars. Some of the things that have happened in the name of Christianity have been totally unchristian. And they've been done in the name of a religion, perhaps by those who adhere to the religion but don't know Christ personally, who have mistaken Christianity, in fact, for a religion, when really it's a relationship with the living God through Christ. So we can't always just lay at the door of genuine Christianity things which have been done in the name of Christianity. And we know that as a religion, like any religion, it can be closely allied to nationalism and to politics. It can be a tool for oppression as well as for good. But we know that Christianity isn't really a religion. It is a relationship with God through Christ. But let's also just probe that question a little more and say, but hang on a minute, are we sure that all wars shouldn't have happened? As a Christian, I consider it to be something that God has given me to do to defend other people. And I think that there are occasions when war has been the only way, after everything else has been exhausted, the only way left to protect. And at that point, when what is being protected is other people, what is being protected is one's own safety, then to meet aggression with equally forceful defense is not an ungodly thing to do. Now, those things said, let's get to the heart of what the passages are teaching us. Because the question, when it's raised, usually when it's been raised with me, has been another sort of, sometimes a red herring, but another thing that's cast up in order for somebody to, in one way or another, protect their lack of belief in God himself. That the possibility seems to be open of rejecting God because you can reject some of what his representatives have done. Of denying the existence of God because of what some of his ambassadors have done. And in that regard, it is Jesus in Mark 7 and James in James chapter 3 who point to the fact that you can't blame God for what people do. You can't blame God for what people do. And both Jesus and James make it abundantly clear that those things which lead to war, those things which are within every human heart but are written in large capital letters, headlined in warfare, those things are not pressed upon us by God. Those things are not sort of insisted upon by God so that we can blame him. They don't come from God. They come from, both Jesus and James use the word, they come from within. They come from within our hearts. So Jesus says in verse 20 of our passage, let's have a look at it together. Jesus went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly." The things which lie behind warring aggression, the things which lie behind the desire for expansion, the desire to crush others, the desire to wipe out a race, those things that lie behind the greed, malice, deceit, envy, slander, arrogance, folly, those things that are the mainspring not only of many international conflicts and intranational conflicts, but those things which you see in school playgrounds, those things which you find on Facebook, those things which get played out with such devastating and tragic results in Oslo. You see, it's what's within the human heart that leads to war. And what we have on an international scale is just a grand version of what's in human hearts. Because at the end of the day, nations don't go to war. Individuals commit nations to war. People with hearts like this. And James, you notice, makes exactly the same point. James talks, as I look at James chapter 13, chapter 3, and then verses 13 and 14. He contrasts the good life, deeds, and in humility that comes from wisdom with these other things. Verse 14, "If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." Verse 16, "Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." And on into James chapter 4, near the bottom there, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" The human heart that both Jesus and James speak of, and that the New Testament talks about so much all the way through, the human heart is the seat of the will. It's what you are in, what you intend to do, or what we might sometimes say nowadays, what you are minded to do, if we sort of shift the anatomy from about here to somewhere up here. What you are minded to do, what your volition, what your will sends you out into the world to do. And it is there that Jesus and James locate the things that lead to war. So, doesn't Christianity just cause wars? No. The religion has caused some. But we say that's not really what Christianity is about. Christians sometimes do go to war because there is a need to defend. But what the Bible says is the real problem is the problem of our own human hearts. So then we come back to the question and we say, what does Christianity do with the human heart? Does Christianity just promote a warring heart? And the answer there is absolutely, resolutely, loudly, clearly, no. Because at the very core of this relationship with God through Christ is a changed heart. God promises in the Old Testament that when he's at work in somebody's life, he's going to give them a new heart. He says, I'll take out your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. God talks about writing his law on our hearts, placing his spirit within us. All those promises which were made in the Old Testament, which are fulfilled through Jesus and what he's done for. When you become a Christian, your heart changes. See, becoming a Christian isn't learning to do the things that the religion asks you to do. Becoming a Christian isn't church going. Becoming a Christian isn't simply doing some good works. Becoming a Christian isn't just sort of a matter of dissociating yourself from some people who seem a bit, you know, dodgy. Becoming a Christian is having a total, complete heart transplant. So that your will and what you're minded to do is changed. So that you become a new person. What does Christianity do? What does real Christianity do? What does Jesus Christ do? He gives you a new heart. So the New Testament elsewhere says if anybody is in Christ, if anybody becomes a Christian, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. What does Christianity do? What does real Christianity do for the warring heart? Well, it takes it out and it puts in a new one. And what does real Christianity do for the human heart? It opens it to that wisdom that is from above. That wisdom which is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And that offer of a change of heart is open to all of us. And we all need it. Let's pray.